Well, hello, With Gratitude Matt listeners. My name is Matt Moran, and I'm the host for the With Gratitude Matt Show. Our goal with the show is to inspire our listeners to practice gratitude regardless of how powerful the storm is. Today's guest is a good friend of mine and golfing buddy. I met Pat Scroy on the golf course a couple of years ago, and I was really drawn to the love and the support that he had for his brother. And unfortunately, his brother, Jeff, lost his life to a very aggressive skin cancer. Being involved in my own cancer journey myself, I was just really admired how he pays tribute to his brother today. Pat today is the president of Scroy Financial. Scroy has been serving the financial needs of individuals and families in Western New York for the last 50 years. Pat's father, Joseph Scroy, founded the company over 50 years ago. Pat is leading the company, inspired by both his father, who lost his life in 2017, and his brother shortly thereafter. Pat is a testament that the love for those that we lose can, and in fact does, live on forever if we invest time and energy to keeping their legacy alive. And Pat has certainly done that through the Jeffrey Michael Scroy Foundation that is giving back to the community that his brother Jeff would be exceedingly proud of today. Their biggest event is the golf outing that they host every year to bring friends and family of the Scroy family together in an effort to keep Jeff's legacy alive. Pat, welcome to today's show.
Thank you very much, Matt. I think I get some tingles just for the introduction. I appreciate it because you and I, walking and talking on the golf course, we realize how important all of this is. So I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. And I remember the day we met like yesterday. We were on hole number four. And I think you were wearing one of the hats that you have for your brother in the golf outing. And I was just, when you mentioned it, I got tingles because of what I'm going through. And I just think it's a true testament to the love that you have for your brother and your dad. And I know they're both exceedingly proud of what you're doing. I guess maybe a place to start, Pat, would be maybe talk a little bit about the family that you grew up in and what life was when your father and brother were around.
I mean, the family I grew up with, I guess, was kind of Brady Bunch, Matt, to be honest. We were very fortunate. You know, my mom is my dad was the face of the family, but my mom was the strength of the family, right? So she's the only girl of nine. She has eight brothers. My business partner here is John Clowden, who I've had the pleasure of working together with for 27 years. And my mom was strong. She raised four kids. I'm the oldest of four. And my dad was always driven by, you know, treating people well and working hard. The initial kickoff is, you know, as a kid, we just were raised to do the right thing. Very loving family. Awesome experience. I grew up in a mile radius my whole life. I live in a mile radius, work in a mile radius. It's pretty cool, actually. At the end of the day, you know, as you get to that journey, when you're 18, 19, 20, you think you're going to go conquer the world. And my dad was a better salesperson than I gave him credit for, Matt. I didn't plan on being in this position, but 31 years later, it was good. I started out as a temporary job, and it's become more than that. And I think you and I can both attest to, it didn't really sink in and become real, right? Working's one thing, but when I became a father, I got married at 28, had my first son at 30. And all of a sudden at that point in time, you grow up pretty fast, and it makes you really reflect and appreciate how hard he had worked to lay the foundation and give us the chance to do what we're doing today.
That's awesome. That's awesome. One of the things that I was just got goosebumps over when we first connected and you started talking about your brother and the diagnosis that he got was how quickly things went. And I'd love to hear from your perspective, you know, how you learned about his cancer and what transpired from that point on.
I mean, I had my last beer with my brother. It was about 2 days before Christmas, 2015. We have a group of us that always get together. They come in from out of town. And Matt, you could just tell he wasn't looking or feeling right. But again, you don't think like that. We're not built to think like that. We've had no cancer in our family that I'm aware of. And so he went to see his primary for a physical early January, 2016. I was not with him at the time. My mom was with him and they gave him that diagnosis that he had cancer. They didn't know what type. And they didn't know the severity of it at that point. We had our appointment the following week with the oncologist where they joined him. So it was around January 15th of 2016, we were informed he had stage 4 melanoma that had compromised about 80% of his liver and it had metastasized. And so the the course was to treat them with a clinical trial drug plus chemotherapy, get them through the first dose, go down to Pittsburgh for a second opinion. And unfortunately, he never made it there. You know, he ended up in the hospital the same day he had his chemo. His levels were a little off, and we never got him home. And that's kind of it. So, you know, from January 15th to, you know, till February 3rd, it was tough. We not only worked together, we had shared Bills tickets together. Our Sabres tickets were kind of around a section apart from each other. And he was never married and didn't have children, Matt. So his family, my family was his family, my three kids, you know, we did Sunday dinners with my mom. Like, you know, it was just kind of part of the routine. It was expected. You know, it was great. Maybe not on Bill's Sunday. We didn't do Sunday dinners, Matt, because, but most outside of that, for sure.
Well, I just think, you know, what you're doing with the foundation and the golf outing is just really remarkable. And it's a testament to how much you loved your brother. But it's not only, you know, for your brother, you do this a lot for his friends and extended family. And you have a big event every summer around the golf outing. I'd love to hear how that got started and what that's like getting together with his buddies.
I mean, I'm going to answer that kind of two ways, Matt. So first and foremost, when Jeff was in the hospital, and this was in the article that was written by Bucky Gleason in the Buffalo News, that was beautifully and perfectly written. We can't thank him enough, but I will be accused of talking too much. You know, no surprise there, Matt. I'm not very, very shy. So thank you. My brother, not so much, right? He was more the softer kind of off the radar guy. And we knew that. We knew he was in a tough spot in the hospital. So to answer your question, how the foundation got rolling, I sat there and I looked at him, and he was in bed, and he looked at me, and I just said, "What do you want me to do?" And he looked at me and said, "Make sure you take care of the kids," meaning his five nieces and nephews. And he said, "It'd be great if you could take care of Paulie." And, you know, to those of you listening, what that meant is one of his closest friends in the world since he was 5, 6 years old that he grew up playing baseball with, roped him into coaching, being his assistant coach at St. Francis for 9 or 10 years, baseball. So those kids became his kids. He loved it. It was the best thing. My brother did play Division I baseball and was a pretty good athlete. So his ability to give back was huge. And at that time, St. Francis had just approved their athletic fields were just completed, but the baseball diamond was the original one dating to way back when, with no dugouts and the backstop was 60 feet back. And they had joked about building a new field. So what we ended up doing is we made some changes. The family decided to leave some money to St. Francis as a bequest on his behalf. And after he passed away, about $70,000 came in from friends to St. Francis real, real quickly in his memory. Because we said, wow, in lieu of flowers, donations to St. Francis baseball, and about $70,000 came in. And here we were sitting all of a sudden with a couple hundred grand, and my dad, you know, looked at me and said, "Make sure you do it right." And that's kind of where we went. To answer the second part is the golf tournament started in the early 90s with four of my mom's eight brothers. They just, as a reason to get family together, they started to come home in the summer. And we would go out golfing, two foursomes, four foursomes, five foursomes. It grew. Then they said, "Well, hey, we live out of town, or half of them live out of town. Why don't we start doing this before the Bills opener?" Nobody knows the exact date, but somewhere in the middle 90s, give or take, we started to do this family golf outing the Friday before the Bills opener. It was small. We would have usually probably about 10 foursomes. And then when my dad, who was one of the leaders on the construction and building of Harvest Hill, he was one of a group of people that did that. It opened July of 07. So for the opener of 07, we had the golf tournament there, and it took off, right? We get 100, 120 golfers, and that's kind of where we stayed. My brother, being single with no children again, always got the ball to run the tournament. So again, it was a combination. Where the tournament took off was his intention to do right by his nieces, nephews, and community, combined with the tournament already existing. His closest friends, who, you know, you've golfed with them before, looked at me and said, "We got to keep that tradition going." And we went to my family and asked, "Can we make this a memorial golf tournament?" The rest is history. So we've run six of them. And in the 6 years of running the golf tournament, we've raised, you know, give or take, it's probably been about $250,000, $260,000. And every penny, we have a 501c3, and every penny of it goes back into the community to youth programs. Now, there's no administrative cost at all on our behalf, because myself and some family members all run it. So You know, now we got, once the field got built, we kind of have a routine where the money goes, Matt. So
that's beautiful. It's great. I appreciate it. What I didn't realize is the golf outing was around prior, and Jeff was involved in that, and I didn't realize it kind of changed its form a little bit once he had passed. But I know that your friends love doing that golf outing every year, participating in it. I now know, because you recently shared with me what your birthday is, I now know the meaning behind the logo, St. Patrick's Day. I know you and Jeff had a close fondness for St. Patrick's Day. Maybe talk a little bit about that.
This was another friend of ours, Frank, and we got wonderful friends and family. So with him being a baseball guy and I'm a St. Patrick's Day birthday, he's 2 years and a day behind me. He was March 8th. Let's just say we enjoyed St. Patty's Day week or weekend very much. It was our favorite time of the year, no doubt. Next to Christmas with family, it was great. So our buddy drafted the shamrock with the baseball stitching going through it, as you can see. And his playing number was always 15. And part of my eulogy, Matt, there's a song by Uncle Cracker called Smile. So part of my eulogy is the opening lyrics are, you're better than best. We're lucky to have lingered in your life. And I referenced that in my eulogy. We talked about Jeff's smile and his personality. And all of a sudden, as we were approaching the golf tournament, one of my buddies said, hey, what do you think of this logo? And it stuck. So now we've kind of used that as our theme. It's better than the best. And for those that were at the mass or know a little bit of Jeffrey, that's kind of where it went. And we've just, again, tried to continue his mission of doing good in the community. We don't, it's the money we raise doesn't go to big, big projects. It goes to individuals, families. We do, in his memory, we do $1,500 scholarships to graduating seniors from high school. We still give money to, because it's a grass field at Franny, so we give them so much money to for maintenance on the field. We support two families every Christmas through the Punt Foundation. That have a child that's battling cancer. And my brother's memory will go, and the staff here, they go Christmas shop and we wrap the gifts and we get the pleasure of giving those to the families, the entire family, their gifts in memory of my brother. So all we're trying to do with the money is little positive things, right, Matt? I mean, that's what this is about. It's about gratitude, being appreciative and just make sure he's gone, but not forgotten.
Absolutely. You're doing a great job of that. I didn't know him, but it's neat just to get to know him through you and your love for him. Pat, I mentioned in the introduction, a year prior or so, your father lost his life. Tough time for your entire family, a couple years. What would your father say relative to what you're doing to keep his son, your brother's legacy alive today?
I don't know, Matt. That's a wonderful question. Again, my dad was such a passionate man. I mean, it was always family first. I think he would be very, very proud of what we're doing and what we're accomplishing. And I don't have a great answer to that one. I'd like to think he would do it because we do it for the right reasons. I mean, the unique part, I'm going to circle back to the golf course. I think what my dad would be proudest of is the first year we ran the tournament, it was sold out in a matter of probably about 24 hours because people knew when the bill schedule comes out, the tournament's happening. And so I get people that we know through the club or through other places that say, hey, I heard about the tournament, I'd love to play. And I think what's a testament to it is we do 36 groups. I allow for fives and sixums, it's a foursome. So we average 155 golfers and I got a waiting list that's probably about 8 or 10 foursomes deep. And it's hard. I mean, we've had out of the 36 groups that play, 28 of them have been the exact same foursomes for all 6 years. So I guess to go around about this with my dad, it's I'm talking, these are friends of ours that we grew up with since grade school, middle school, high school, college. We've all got busy with life, right? Doing things and with wives and kids and sports. But it's that one day a year we all get together and laugh, maybe cry a little bit and tell some stories. But I think what my dad would be proudest about is bringing everybody together, because this is intended. The people that play are generally, I would guess, 95% knew my brother and probably 80% knew him very, very well. They got to meet him because he was the fun screw. On the more serious one, Matt, you can ask a few people that played in the Yates with him for sure. He was a little more fun than I was, but it's all good.
Well, I've had fun with you over at Orchard Park. No, it's always fun to see you over there.
Thanks, Matt.
You mentioned this earlier that Jeff was not verbal and didn't share as much. And I'm curious what he would say about all this.
He might be a smidge embarrassed because he always liked to stay off the grid, you know, so he was the quieter one. I think he would love it with what we do with the kids for sure, and the children, because that was his gig. He was always extremely active within our community, within our school district. I think he'd be happy and pleased, maybe a little bit embarrassed because he was not, again, my dad or I were generally the face. My brother worked with us, but he was always behind the scenes. And, you know, so to be in the forefront like that, I mean, as long as we keep it in good taste, and he would love the fact that we're all coming together. Because Matt, if you get to come there for even dinner after one day, you'll see how genuinely all of us at play, how close we all are.
Sure.
And that is the blessing. It is not, this isn't a normal corporate golf tournament. I joke, it's a very long happy hour with golf sprinkled in. So if somebody's looking at it as a golf event, they're missing the boat. It's a very long happy hour.
Well, I've played with some of your buddies before, and I think some of them think that the whole reason you play golf is for happy hour.
I can't argue that one, Matt, for sure.
One of the things that has helped me along the way is just my faith. And in fact, I'd say that my faith is stronger today than it was when I got started on this journey. And I'm curious to how your faith has played a role in what you're doing and how you're keeping Jeff's legacy alive.
I mean, your faith plays a good, great part, but again, it goes back to the strength of the family. And I would say my mom first before my dad, right? They were raised with those very strong, my mom was Irish Catholic and my dad, you know, Italian Catholic from South Buffalo, migrate to West Seneca. So those roots in family, neighbors, friends were huge. And that's what keeps you going is my wife and I have been married 25, going on 26 years. I got to witness Matt, my parents make it to almost 51 years of marriage before my dad passed away. And it's the faith in what you do, but it's also you learn from what you see, not what people say. And the role models I had in my life and the love they had for each other, you know, really. And that's why I continue this because, you know, that, you know, when we all get together as a group, and it's the reason I joined Orchard Park, to be quite candid. I joined Orchard Park not because my golf game's any good. I joined to be with those people we know. Because as you learn, as you get older, those dear, dear friends, the line between friends and family is very, very thin, right? I consider them all brothers and family members, and you want to laugh. And you want to enjoy life a little bit. And so it's great. So my faith has been huge. But again, that was spearheaded by the foundation my parents instilled in family, family, family all day long.
I would say the same is true for me as well. Without them and that foundation, I wouldn't have found this myself. So I mentioned earlier, you're president of Scroy Financial today. Your father started it over 50 years ago. How does your father's legacy and even Jeff's legacy play a role in how you're leading the organization today?
My dad, as you know, started with the company you're currently with Principal. So it was Bankers Life at the time. So we started in 1971 with, after coming back from Vietnam, he lost his job. He had, two children, one on the way. And he went into this career path, and it was a great career path. But the first 15 years was mostly selling life and disability insurance, and we grew into the wealth management. But I think how they steer what I do, again, it comes down to, actually should grab the quote for you. My apologies to turn my back. I didn't think of this.
No, so that's this great. Appreciate it.
Not scripted and true. So I'm going to answer that this way. So my dad, on my first day of work, he handed me this. And if you can see, it's a little kind of beat up and raggedy and a little bit yellow. And this was what drives me. My father handed me October of 1991, and this has been on my desk drawer ever since. It says, don't ever do anything as though you were an amateur. Anything you do, do it as a professional, to professional standards. Develop the frame of mind that whatever you do, you are doing it as a professional, and move up to professional standards in it. Never let it be said of you that you lived an amateur life. So my dad,
wow. That is beautiful.
And so if I'm having an off day or a bad day, I just pull over the drawer you saw where I sit at my desk every day and I reflect, because what he instilled was integrity, right? Integrity, integrity, and integrity. And again, so what I'm trying to lead by, the business comes. He always said the business would come if you treat people well, right? And that's what he wanted to do. And like I said, that quote for me, Again, it's a little bit wrinkled, but it's that one is that actual printed copy is 31 years old. So it's been sitting in my desk drawer. And every once in a while, you pause. You know what I mean, Matt? You pause 100%. In life. You have moments. We all do.
That's a beautiful quote. I love it. Is that something that you've shared with your children?
I have. And in my dad's eulogy, I read that. I haven't read it too many other places. So just his eulogy and maybe here, Matt. Because again, my dad, he was trying to, at 23 when I started here, again, you think you know everything, right? You're confident, you have some swagger. And the older I get and the grayer I get, the more this quote means to me. Because what your lasting legacy isn't just the business, right? It's the people around you. It's your children, which is your biggest legacy. You know, how are they treating people, right? So by treating it, by living a professional life, I want to make sure my kids, Matt, if you were to run into them, they would say, hey, Mr. Moran, right? And they would, you'd say, hey, you know, at the end of the day, everybody, I think in this day and it's with social media, judges you on some materialistic things. And to me, it's, I want to make sure if you met either of my boys or my daughter, you know, they would reflect that same standard. And I'm hopeful my wife and I have done a good job. They're 23, 20, and, you know, 18. So I think they're there. But again, they're in that stage where they're enjoying life.
I'm sure they make you proud every time they have the opportunity to.
Thank you.
You know, so you're doing so much to keep the Scroy family legacy living on through what you're doing for Jeff and even your father. What makes you most proud when you think about some of the work that you've done to keep that legacy alive?
It'd be the legacy my dad started. We're continuing. And again, between my uncle, my staff, I got three cousins that work here. It's, we get measured with second and third generation clients, which we primarily are right now. It's awesome. I mean, the hugs we get, the care we get, the cards we get, I think what we've developed more is, you know, relationships. And that is for the part for me. I think what drove my dad was fear of failure, right? Because when he came home from Vietnam, had a job, lost it, and he got into this with a few young kids, fear drove him. He didn't want to fail. You know, I think what drives me now is the fear, but a little bit different way. It's not the financial. I know we've done the right thing, financially for people. It's kind of that fear of, you know, letting my dad down. I would never want to let him or my mom, the parents. So I think what gets me up and going every day is that quote that I just read a little bit ago, is making sure I'm living up to those standards that they set for me.
That's beautiful. It's beautiful. You know, just curious, you know, from time to time. I mean, I believe that your father and your brother are in their eternal home today, and someday we will be there with them. Do you ever think about what that reunion will look like, or what will take place when you're ultimately reunited with your father or brother?
I don't too often. My dad, towards the tail end, they talked about it a little bit, having a big old baseball game, because we are a huge sports family. So that reunion for us will absolutely be something sporting event where my dad's given us direction in a street hockey game or, you know, baseball. And then, you know, absolutely joining him for a beer or two afterwards. My dad would have a scotch, you know, Jeffrey and I would have a couple of beers, but I look forward to it, but not too soon.
No, not too soon. But no, that's what we're working towards here on this life, to prepare for our eternal home. You know, as we wrap up, Pat, and I'm so grateful that we took the time to talk about something I was amazed by with respect to how you're continuing to love your brother, even though he's not here in person, but you're keeping his spirit alive. I'd love to hear from your perspective. You know, that I know that must have been exceedingly difficult for you to go through that grieving period. But is there anything that you've learned through that experience and the love that you had for your brother that today has helped you manage thing and be a better man that you are? And maybe even going back to your father's quote, living out your father's ask of you. Is there anything that you learned about that grieving period that might have kind of ignited something inside of you that's helped you be the person who you are today?
It might have taken about a year, Matt. The first year, I think it put a definite strain on my, you know, my marriage a little bit and my kids, to be quite candid. Because I was, you know, in our jobs, when you're with clients, they're always first, right? You know, then you go home and you take care of your kids, so you don't have a lot of you time, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
So the grieving period, I think, took a little bit longer For right now, though, it's a little bit different. You know, I mean, now that he's passed, I miss him, but I get to reflect fondly on all the good he did. And with my wife and my kids, I've learned to tell people I love them more, right? Not just my family members, but my close friends, right? That is what I've learned from this. You know, I think as men, right, we're not supposed to do that, but I'm a hugger. I've learned to hug. I've learned to be more open with that and tell people that have been good to me how much they mean to me. And again, it's, we're taught as young men not to do that, but I think it's incorrect. We need to let people know we care. And the other part I've learned to be is a bit more patient. What I mean by that is it's easy to judge at a young age, but you never know what the person on the across from you is going through, right? So if I'm not wearing that hat with, it says, you know, better than the best and the logo on the side of the hat, and you don't ask that question, odds are you don't tell me what you're going through, because that's not a conversation you would just tell somebody you met on a golf course, right? So I think what it is being kind, and because you don't know what somebody's, what shoes they're filling or what they're going through. So it's given me more patience. It's made me a better listener, and it's absolutely made me more compassionate for, you know, your journey. And again, I can't thank you enough for the opportunity, because this is very, 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 for me, how do I say it? Therapeutic to do this and talk about this openly with somebody like you that I know can cares genuinely. It means a lot. So thank you to you and your audience. I appreciate it.
I can't thank you enough for your willingness to do it. I know that, you know, it's vulnerable. I mean, I'm sure it could get emotional. I know sometimes when I think about where I started and where I am today, sometimes I'll get a little emotional, and I'm sure that creep in, but I know our listening audience, you know, everybody experiences loss at some time or another. And I know that if they just look at how you've handled it, I think others can learn from your experience. And while our loved ones once someday will go, the love that you have for them doesn't have to go as well. It can, in fact, it can even be ignited. And you're a true testament to the way you're loving your brother and you're loving your father through the foundation and how you're leading Scroit Financial. And, you know, I'm sure all of your employees get to see that firsthand each and every day at how your legacy is in fact living on exactly how your father would expect through that quote that you shared. It's a true honor to get to know you better through this conversation as well. I can't wait to see you on the golf course. And now that I know you're a hugger, I'm going to give you a big hug, Pat.
I'll take him. And just one last note, when you asked that question, it made me pause. And I think in the world, the other thing it taught me, especially over the last 4 years, Matt, is people have become so hung up on left and right, they simply forgot about right and wrong, right? It does not take anything to be kind. It doesn't take anything to be nice. It doesn't take any much to listen, right? And genuinely concerned. So I think the passing of my brother has slowed down time for me a little bit, right? Because you're always busy. And allowed me to, the people that I'm friends with, it's strengthened our relationship because, you know, I don't know, it just is. But again, just be kind, Matt.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because I feel like the journey that I'm on, you commented, it's made you more patient, more loving of your family, priorities that might be a little bit different. And that's all stuff that I feel like my diagnosis has caused me on, because I don't know how long I'm going to be here. I hope to be here a long time, think I'm going to be, but we don't know. You never know. And I really appreciate you sharing the story. I know our listening audience is going to love hearing more about how you're loving your brother, even though he's far away, but I know he's close in heart. Pat, I close each one of my shows this way, and I share with my listening audience that I try to think about three things each and every day that help me on the journey that I'm on, and the first of which is gratitude. It's, you know, I try to find the courage to be grateful regardless of how powerful the storm is today. I also talk about really be present. I think we're all called to help other people. You touched on it quite a bit through the conversation that we had today, and just be present. The more you're present, you'll actually experience the gifts that other people have to share with you, and you'll be able to share your gifts that you have for other people. And lastly, pay attention to how you're feeding your mind, body, and soul. You are what goes into yourself. today's guest was my friend, Pat Skroy. Pat, it was a lot of fun having you on today's show. Listening audience, if today's show inspired you in some way, shape, or form, please comment on it, share it with others, and subscribe to the show. With gratitude, Matt listeners, until next time, find the courage to be grateful. Godspeed, my friends.